strong and mighty tower you could always run to.
Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what He has brought you through. He's done what no other can do. Look what God has done for you.
In your darkest hour, He's been faithful and true.
Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for you. See what He has brought you through. He's done what no other can do.
I know, thank you. I know you're probably thinking, hey, y'all sang that last Sunday morning. Did anybody remember it? What I thought. I knew it wouldn't matter anyway. But we did sing that last Sunday morning, but I thought, what a fitting song for Thanksgiving. Amen. We've got so much to be thankful for. And if you look back at what God's done for you, you'll realize what you need to be thankful for.
Has the Lord been good to you this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He has been good, faithful friend, and our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming Lord. So we are so excited to be here this morning, and hope you're doing good. If not, I hope you'll be doing good at the end of the service by the time everything is said and done. I want to welcome everybody to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. And I believe it's fall time. It's getting cooler outside, and that's okay with me. But anyway, so good to be here. I want to welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are our special guest. And so thank you for coming to be with us. I want to say hello to LC and Jordan this morning. And engaged to be married, correct? Yes, yes, yes. And so good to see you two here this morning. And what a blessing. What a blessing. They young people, they grow up in the church and they move off and get married. And that's the circle of life, isn't it? And I know Brother Larry's proud of his son and Miss Jordan. But so good to have y'all with us this morning. So good to be here. I do want to mention some things. And before we pray, I want to say this on the front end of our announcements this morning. There's going to be 500 trees delivered tomorrow night at Calvary Children's Home. And so there's some help that's needed. If you'd like to volunteer some time to help out over there, they got a whole, what's the word I'm looking for, way of doing things. I mean, it's there's some over here unloading trees. There's some over here color coordinating them and different bunches, and some over here drilling holes in the bottom of the trees and stacking trees and watering trees. And so there is a place for you to serve and help if you'd like to do that. How many was it yesterday?
We unloaded
300 Thursday, and another 500 on tomorrow. So Brother Brian isn't here this morning, but you could see Brother Randy for more information, Brother David in the back. Or someone else along those lines, they would appreciate your help. And I do want to say no Wednesday night service is coming up on Wednesday. Of course, it is Thanksgiving Eve, and so we historically have and traditionally have called that service off, and so you can spend time with your family. So enjoy that time. And so after tonight's fellowship downstairs, our Thanksgiving fellowship. There'll be no church until next Sunday morning, just to be crystal clear. And speaking of that, at 5 o'clock this evening is our Thanksgiving fellowship downstairs. And so please join us for that. It's going to be a great time. We'll also have just a moment or two where we'll maybe read a couple verses and give an opportunity around the room if anybody wants to share anything they're thankful for. And so just remember that this evening is going to be a great time. I do want to leave you with a few prayer requests. Miss Lucy Godfrey, she's been visiting with us for some time. She sits on this side over here. She called me yesterday, and she's at home with the flu. So if we could, she requested prayer. She says, okay, to mention that. And so let's lift up Miss Lucy in prayer, if we would, if you could. Also, remember Jude Partain. Carl Partain and his family came to sing in our Jubilee last year on Monday night. He'll be back with us again this coming year on Monday night to preach, to sing, and then to sing, then preach. But anyway, their son Jude is scheduled to have heart surgery on the 12th. I'm not sure how old he is. Doesn't matter. Heart surgery is a big deal for anybody. But I believe he is a young teenager, about 13 or 14, maybe 15. And he's going to have a heart valve replacement. That's Jude Partain on the 12th, which is the Thursday after Lily's surgery, which is going to be two Wednesdays from now, the 4th. And then the following Thursday, the 12th, is going to be Jude's. And so Brother Carl and myself, we kind of partnered in praying for one another and our families, our children during this time. And so if you'll just lift up Jude in your prayers, that'll be great. Just a young man. So we appreciate that. Also, our neighbor across the street, Joe Irons, I actually reached out to him just to let him know about Lily's surgery, and come to find out his daughter was just that week diagnosed with scoliosis. And so she's starting the journey that we're finishing up on. And so if you remember her, she's about 14, 15, something, a little more than 15 years of age. And so we need to pray for our young people, you know, not just spiritual matters and with peer pressure and stuff, but physically our young people need our prayers, because they go through things just like we do as adults. And so let's remember that. All right, just all kinds of things going on. And again, we're getting into the Christmas season. Thanksgiving this coming up Thursday. I hope you spend some time with your families. Okay, you glad to be here this morning? Say amen. 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 Children's Home's on the road. Let's pray for them. They'll be back with us tonight. Be a great evening this evening. Father, we love you. We thank you, and we praise you for all things. God, be with us this morning in our service. I pray that it would be more than just a song that we sing, but it would be a reality from our hearts that you are our Savior. We love you. We are thankful. Lord, there's always stuff that we could bellyache over, Lord, that we could think about that we're not happy with. But Lord, this morning we push all that aside and we reflect on your goodness, because you are good. You are good. And we're thankful for your goodness. We just pray for all of these requests, every person, every life, every situation. Lord, be God in their situation. And Lord, we just pray for those that are here this morning, that you would minister to them. I pray that you would save the lost and bless the saved. And just encourage all of our hearts, Lord. By the time that we leave, I pray that we will be better people, better Christians than when we came in. We love you today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
All right, church, we're going to do things a little different this morning. I'm going to have the choir sing a chorus or two or a few. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to join in. You'll catch on to it really quick. You'll have the words up on the board. And I hope it's a blessing to you. We're just going to sing the chorus of a song that simply says, thanks. All right, choir. Here we go.
Thank you.
stand with me this morning.
I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Sing it now, here we go.
Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord,
sing it one more time. Sing it, church.
Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all.
You can be seated, church. We've got so much to be thankful for today. Amen. We had our Thanksgiving yesterday, and what a blessing that was. Of course, I had to find some new britches to be able to get to church this morning. But the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. I love the verse of Scripture that's on the board this morning. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." Amen. In everything. Give thanks. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But that's what He tells us to do in everything. Give thanks. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us by chance, you're our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. If you are visiting with us by Facebook this morning, we are thankful for that as well. Some can't get here due to sickness and different things, and we just want to say good morning. It's great to have you this morning joining with us here at Calvary today. But it is a blessing to be here today, and we're going to go to the Lord again in a word of prayer in just a moment. Please remember the service tonight at 5, no Wednesday night service, and then we get in gear next Sunday morning, and all through the day next Sunday. We're very blessed, we're looking forward to, but please be much in prayer for the children's home as they travel. Be much in prayer for the choir as we try our best to get ready for Christmas. We've only got a few weeks. You think things are going fast. Boy, we think it's going fast because we got to get a program ready, and we're very excited about it. So you be much in prayer for the choir and for the music department as we try and get things ready this year. We're very excited about what the Lord has for us. But we just need Him to orchestrate everything and to get everything put into place so that we can worship Him. I've got a talk with Pastor. We're a little undecided as to what the date might be that we might be able to nail down. We were hoping for the 15th. Not sure that's going to be possible, but we'll let you know as we get a little closer. But all we need you to do at this point is pray. Amen. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Elsie, it is great to have you with us. Always great to see you in the Lord's house here at Calvary. Would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering?
Thank you. birds that flutter and fly, I am thankful, thankful for the leaves on the trees, how they dance in the breeze. I am thankful, thankful with an attitude of gratitude for blessings big and small. I'll show gratefulness and thankfulness as I praise the Lord of all.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, and they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord,
me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family.
I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. Fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
What a blessing this morning. There's the old song that says, if you're happy and you know it, and your face is sure to show it, clap your hands, stomp your feet, do all these things. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if you're thankful and you know it, clap your hands. Amen. What a blessing. Good to see everybody this morning. And so good to be here. Appreciate you coming. All right. We're going to be in the book of John this morning, chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I want to look at one verse. It's verse number 13. John 14, verse number 13. And appreciate the Lord in my life. I used to say God's been good since I've been saved, but He's been good my whole life, even when I wasn't saved and I didn't know Him. And He spared me of a life in prison and pre-adventure, even eternal hell. So I'm thankful that God saved me and changed me. And I missed all kinds of heartache. Experienced a lot of heartache, but bypassed a lot. I have a lot of friends I used to hang out with that are in the cemetery this morning due to drugs and different things. And I just praise the Lord that He spared me. He spared me and given me a fine family. And the best wife that anybody could have, I have. And the best daughter anyone could have, I have. I so very much appreciate my family of three, plus a little, I was going to say Chihuahua, but he's a dachshund. He acts like a Chihuahua sometimes, and a crazy thing, but I love him. Appreciate what the Lord's done for my family. And John chapter number 14. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 13. I'm going to explain something out of this verse, and we're going to try to develop a message this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. Pray for the next few moments. You would keep me in Your care. Keep me in Your hand. Use me, Lord, to be a blessing to Your people that's in the church, that's watching on Facebook, listening online, maybe even our little radio station passing through Powder Springs. Lord, we love You today, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. John chapter number 14, verse number 13, I want you to notice with me. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's our one verse this morning we're going to preach from. And I want to explain something out of this verse before we get started. This is one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. Many people quote only half this verse, and they leave the other half out, maybe because they didn't continue to read it, or maybe they were listening to some kind of prosperity gospel. And in part, people, some quote only half this verse where the Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do. And then they stop right there. Well, I want a brand new car. I want a brand new home. I want $1 million. And God, You said, if I ask it in Your name, You'll do it. Well, that's misquoted and misinterpreted, because the verse continues. It says, that will I do, that. This is a conjunction word. He says, ask whatsoever ye shall ask. Or He says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I want to say this morning, if the Father cannot be glorified in the Son, we shouldn't be asking for it. If Jesus cannot be glorified with what we're praying, with what we're asking for, we should not be asking for it. I jotted this down. I was thinking about it on the way over here this morning as we were riding to church. If we can't pray in Jesus' name, we also shouldn't be asking for it. If you can't pray and ask God for something and conclude it with, in Jesus' name, it is not God's will for you to have it. If it does not glorify the Son, if it does not glorify the Father in the Son, we should not be asking for it. And so this morning, that might clear up a lot of our prayer concerns. Somebody said, well, God's not answering my prayer. Well, I want to ask you, will it glorify the Son? Can you conclude that prayer in Jesus' name? And so, as we look at this verse, this is one of the most misinterpreted verses, I believe, that people have tried to quote. But I do want to share a different kind of Thanksgiving message this morning that I normally do. On Thanksgiving Day, many will be gathered around the table to eat. But first, someone will be elected to pray over the meal. And at the end of the prayer, the statement will be, "In Jesus' name, amen." And so the question this morning is why? Why do we conclude our prayers at any time with that phrase, "In Jesus' name"? Well, you might say, because it's Jesus. And that's true. He is our Savior and we love Him. And that is one reason why we pray in Jesus' name. But this morning I want to go a little bit deeper than that, because it does go a little bit deeper than that. And my prayer is that whenever we're done today with the service and done preaching, and you go and you pray, not just over a meal, but at any time, and you say, "In Jesus' name," really, really reflect back on what we're going to share this morning from God's Word. And so with the Lord being our helper, I want to preach on this subject, "In Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. Now, we are instructed to pray in Jesus' name. There are other verses that tell us this, such as, and I'm going to give you some verses and you just read them later, John 14:14, which is the next verse that we have. I'll read it to you. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But in John chapter number 15 and verse 16, is another verse about praying in Jesus' name. John 16, verse 23. John 16, verse 24. John 16, verse number 26. All of those verses deal with concluding and asking in Jesus' name. So just go back and read those later. Basically, it's John 14 through John chapter number 16. Something interesting I discovered: whenever we baptize somebody, we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so there's a difference here. The Trinity had a part in salvation. God the Father sent God the Son. God the Son died and He went back to heaven and left the Holy Spirit in the hearts of every believer. All had a work in salvation. And so when we baptize somebody, we say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost." But this morning, for us that are saved, who have made a public profession among many witnesses, whenever we call upon God, we go through the Son and we say, "In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Or in a lot of cases, when I pray, I say, "In Jesus' name, I do pray with thanksgiving in my heart, amen." And I get that from Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. But this morning, we are not told to pray in a prophet's name. We're not told to pray in Elijah's name. We're not told to pray in Elisha's name. We're not even told to pray in an apostle's name. We're not to say, "In Paul's name I pray, amen. In Peter's name I pray, amen." No. But we are told to pray in Jesus' name. And a little FYI for you, for your information, it's not, when it comes to the book of Acts, it's not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost who moved on the hearts of the apostles. So this morning, I want to just give you some reasons why we should pray in Jesus' name. Number one, we should pray in Jesus' name because Jesus is our high priest. Hebrews chapter number 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14. We should pray in Jesus' name because He is our high priest, and He alone is our high priest. Notice this in Hebrews 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so this morning we see that Jesus is our high priest. He is the one that we go to in order to get in touch with the Father. In verse number 14, the Bible tells us we have a priest, which is Jesus. In verse number 15, he tells us he is a passionate priest. We're not serving a priest this morning which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We're not serving, we don't have an earthly priest that the Catholics go to, and they go to the confessional or whatever it's called, and they confess everything they've done. They confess their needs and wants to a human man. They can only relate so much. But we this morning, we have a high priest, Jesus, which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is a passionate priest. And then verse number 16, we have permission to approach this passionate priest. In verse number 16, the Bible says, let us. Because we have a passionate priest, he gives us permission. Let us therefore come boldly, not arrogantly, not mean, but come with confidence. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord, this morning we have a high priest. That's why we say in Jesus' name. Now, let me give you a little background about the priesthood. In the Old Testament, the priest was responsible for bringing the people's petitions before God. God chose the tribe of Levi to produce a priesthood in Israel. You stay with me. The book of Leviticus, Leviticus, was written as an instruction manual for that office. So the priesthood came from the tribe of Levi. We have the book of Leviticus, what I like to call Leviticus, as an instruction manual for that office. Instruction manual. Now, no human has ever been able to go to God on their own because of the separation caused by sin. Therefore, the priest would have to go to God for the people, but he had to go through a certain cleansing period. These earthly priests had to. It was a purification process. You go back and read that in Leviticus. But this purification process for the priesthood, it was symbolic to teach the people of God that God has standards. There are requirements to meet with God, and these standards, this purification, cleansing period for the priesthood was to show that. And so we see that the presence of God is so awesome. The presence of God is so glorious that someone considered unclean would die in His presence. Even mishandling God's presence could mean death back in the Old Testament. You remember when the man Uzzah was helping out with the ark and they was carrying it on a new cart. The ark is a picture of God's presence. And they were carrying it on a new cart. And then the ark stumbled and the ark was about to fall over, and Uzzah touched the ark, and the Bible says that God struck him dead. God struck them dead. Now we're talking about the Old Testament, and we're talking about the way that things are to be done back in Bible days in the Old Testament. And listen, mishandling God's presence could get you killed. Going before God, unclean could get a person killed. But thanks be unto God this morning that Christ became our high priest. He is the one by His blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary, and by us accepting that blood, we are rendered clean. We can go into the throne room of grace and listen, the throne room of God, and we can approach God. We don't have to worry about dying. We don't have to worry about being mocked and ridiculed. Why is that? Because the blood of Jesus was shed, and that blood was applied to our life if we're saved, and He is our high priest this morning. That's why when we pray, we say, in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name because of our high priest. Aren't you glad this morning that we don't have to go through an earthly priest? Aren't you glad this morning we don't have to go to a confessional? Listen, no one should dare call an earthly man father unless it's your father according to the flesh. There's only one Father, and it's God the Father. And we're so thankful this morning that He is a passionate priest who gives us permission to enter in by the blood of Jesus. And so, we know in the book of Hebrews, all 13 chapters, Christ's name is mentioned and referred to as our high priest. I want to say that Christ does what we cannot do for ourselves. He goes to God on our behalf because of the blood. Aren't you glad we're not living in Old Testament times? My goodness, have I dropped the ball in my life since I've been saved. And listen, if we were going through, if we were living in Old Testament times, and if I dropped the ball one day and immediately I went to the Lord without going through some ceremonial laws, wham, I'd be killed. That's how holy God's presence is. That's how holy God's standards were and still is. But you see, the law that a lot of people are trying to fulfill to merit their way to heaven, you'll never be able to do it. The Bible talks about in the book of Romans that the law was a schoolmaster. In fact, the law is so holy and the standards are so high that we could never fulfill any of the laws perfectly. And James tells us if we have fallen in one of the laws, one of the Ten Commandments, one of God's laws or standards, we are guilty of them all. And so Paul says, he says that I tried to do the things that I should do, and I don't do them all the time. And he says there's a time where I do the things I shouldn't do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He goes on, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Lord. You see, Paul was trying to live up to the law. Paul was trying to be righteous. Paul was a saved man, but he was trying to understand how to live the Christian life. And he came to the conclusion he can't live the Christian life apart from Jesus. Paul recognized that through Christ alone and through faith alone, through grace alone. And Paul also goes on and he says, shall we sin that grace may abound? And he said, God forbid, how shall they live any longer that are dead to sin? And so this morning, thank God for Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the law. It was a schoolmaster that brought us to Him. We confessed Him as Savior. Now the blood is applied to our life. He is our high priest this morning. When we pray, let us be careful to take our time and say, in Jesus' name, we do pray. Jesus this morning, He is our high priest. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We lay out our petitions before Jesus, and He, our high priest, then takes them to the Father. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Thank God for Jesus. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. There's a reason why we say in Jesus' name. There's a reason. Not only that, we pray in Jesus' name because He's our high priest, but we pray in Jesus' name, number two, because he is the mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5, if you would, for a moment. Turn over to 1 Timothy 2:5, follow along on the screen, whatever. 1 Timothy 2:5. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, listen, for there is one God. Let's go a step further. And one mediator between God and man. Okay, the Bible is telling us there's only one way to heaven. There's only one spokesman. There's only one in between. There's only one vehicle by which we can meet God. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Apostle Paul, the man Elijah, the man the Pope, the man the Catholic priest, the man Buddha, the man Muhammad, the man Confucius. No, but the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is our mediator. Aren't you glad for our mediation process? Daily, the devil, Brother Ceylon, is trying to accuse me before the Father. We shared this last Sunday morning. He is day and night trying to accuse me before the Father, but because I have a mediator, because there's mediation that continues 24/7, 365. Listen, the Bible says we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. Somebody said, Brother Justin, are you lawyered up this morning? I'm lawyered up. Jesus is my lawyer. Jesus is your lawyer. If you're saved this morning, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the man. Jesus is the man. Do you know him this morning? Have you accepted Jesus, this God-man, with all of your heart and mind? Have you asked him to come in and be the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's all about Jesus. Listen, we pray in Jesus' name because he's the mediator. And so when you're praying and you say, in Jesus' name, just remember he is mediating for you. That's why you can call on him. Because you're innocent. You could call on, look, you slipped, you've stumbled, you've sinned, you've backslid, whatever. Don't let that keep you out of the throne room. If you know Jesus, he is your lawyer. You're lawyered up, my friend. The devil wants you to stay out of that certain room. He don't care what room you go to in your house. He don't care what room you go to mentally. The devil just don't want you to go to that throne room. Because he knows that you have a mediator. He knows you have a high priest. And he knows that you can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so I say to you this morning, if you're away from God, run to Jesus. He's there waiting for you. He's your high priest. He's your mediator. Listen, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. We must only pray through him, not Mary. Something interesting about Mary, and we're getting close to Christmas. The wise men, when they came to see Jesus, the Bible says that they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. Now, if it was a doctrinal truth, and if it was from God, inside the canon of God's word, it would say they fell down and worshiped her. But it doesn't say that. They fell down and worshiped him. He is the mediator between God and man. Let us not pray to Mary. Let us not pray to some human priest. Let us not pray to no prophet, no apostle, or at least to no prophet's name or apostle's name, any of those, Mary's name, human priest's name, but pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because Jesus is our mediator between God and man. Let me mention a third thing. I only got three this morning. We pray in Jesus' name because he is our high priest. We pray in Jesus' name because he is our mediator. But we pray in Jesus' name because his name is above all names. Acts chapter number 4, if you would. Acts chapter number 4. In verse number 12, only Jesus can save us. Acts 4 verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is not found in anyone else, anything else other than Jesus. Now, turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Quick little Bible drill. Philippians chapter number 2. I want you to notice in verse number 7 through 11 in just a moment. Because of Jesus' humility, and because he was obedient unto death, God gave him a name above all names. Now, how many kids, minus the Spanish ones, and you'll know why I'm saying this, do they name their kid Jesus? Now, you might come across some named Jesus in the Spanish community, but it's not Jesus. I haven't known one person my entire life who named their child Jesus in the English tongue. Have you? Oh, welcome to kindergarten. What's your name? Oh, his name is Jesus. No, there's something wrong about that. His name is what? No, you won't come across anybody. You may come across a Jesus, but you won't come across a Jesus, because the Lord God gave him a name that's above every name, and through his humility and obedience, he got that name. Now, verse number 7 of Philippians 2, the Bible says, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How about that? Jesus' name is above all names. Through his humility and obedience to death, God has exalted his name. I want to say this morning, we pray in Jesus' name because we're told to. We pray in Jesus' name because it's authoritative. We pray in Jesus' name to honor and glorify God. We pray in Jesus' name because he's the Savior. We pray in Jesus' name because he's the Son of God. Now again, back to my original point, a lot of people misinterpret our main verse, John 14, 13. And whatever you ask of the Father, he'll give it to you. But listen, I want to say this along with that verse and with the comments I've already made, that there's no guarantee God will answer your prayer exactly how you want it answered. There's no guarantee of that. expect God will answer your prayer exactly how you want it answered. But if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. So that tells me that there are things that we ask God about that's not happening, and it just not, may not be the timing yet. It's all about timing. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says for a different time. But we do know that if we're asking something that will glorify the Father, and we do know if we're asking something according to His will, He will answer. It's a matter of time. Hang in there, church, whatever you're praying for. God is hearing it. It's just a matter of time. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Father, we love You today. We thank You. Just a different kind of message for Thanksgiving week coming up. Just a little sermon about why we conclude our prayers in Jesus' name. Lord, You are our high priest. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. You are our mediator. And we're so thankful for that. But Your name is above all names. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. You're so important to us. We love You. I pray that You'll just move in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come pray, you come pray. Pray on the authority of Jesus' name.
Just as I am without.
Some have already prayed this morning, but maybe you want to come.
Thy blood was shed for me, and that
have you trusted in Jesus' name for salvation?
Me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we sing, if you need to come.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
Anybody else?
To thee, whose blood can cleanse.
Play softly for just a moment to have one pray. And thank you for responding this morning. Thank you for being here. And I hope you got something out of the service. Just remember tonight, 5 o'clock, our Thanksgiving fellowship. It's going to be a great time. Do we have any announcements? I think we have one. Ladies. All right. You heard that. Okay. So remember that. And everyone just have a blessed afternoon. Anything else to mention? All hearts clear before we go.
Clear.
All right. We are clear. We are free and clear to head out of here. All right. Consider yourself dismissed. Have a blessed afternoon. Lord willing, we'll see you back here at 5. God bless you.